It's a great honor and privilege to be with you. My name is Pastor Matthew Niver, newly installed at Covenant Reformed Church. And so as the new person, this falls to me, but I'm certainly thankful for the opportunity to proclaim the gospel to you. I do want to thank on behalf of my consistory, your churches, for being so willing to share your pastors with us in our time of vacancy and waiting on the Lord. And I'm thankful for the pulpit that is mine, but while it was empty, many of your pastors cared for the flock at Covenant. And so thank you very much for the ways in which you prayed for us and cared for us in that time. And I look forward to getting to know many of you. Reverend Miller, one of the past pastors at Covenant, used to always come fall meetings of our classes to speak greetings and the wonder of what this time was. And so always hearing it and thinking what it must be like, and certainly what a blessing to be here with you and to share faith together as well. But let's take our Bibles together and turn to the book of Psalms, to David's words in Psalm 31. As we consider then not only conviction for us of that which we are to believe, but also a great measure of the comfort that is ours, comfort that we share, and certainly as we gather for corporate worship, that opportunity we have to speak such words one to another. And so let's hear these words together to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief, yes, my soul and my body, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity and my bones waste away. I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. And I'm repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I trust in you. O Lord, I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints. For the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Father, we ask you together that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our spirit would be pleasing to you, for you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, children of God called to be saints, when life is proceeding according to our plans, it's easy to testify to a reliance and dependence upon God. That when testimony of God's goodness and grace easily rolls off our tongues, a testimony of his faithfulness, that is when life is truly good. We remember it. We're thankful for it. And it leads us to a certain amount of bravado with those who come to us and speak of their own troubles, their own trials and hardships. That we are quick to speak of the fact that God is good, He's faithful, God's on the throne, He's sovereign, He'll see you through. We remind each other of the Lord's comfort. And sometimes we can do that a little bit flippantly. And while we wouldn't say that about David's response here in Psalm 31, yet there are other psalms which speak of the fact that his life was very good, where he understood the blessing of the Lord, the favor of the Lord, quick to give thanks and praise to God. Perhaps in words that were familiar to us in Psalm 18, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. And it's a blessing to be in such times. That is, Christians, perhaps, if that's you tonight, found in that place of God's blessing, feeling the light of His presence and the beauty of Kansas City Spring, there's goodness and sweetness in the Lord. We rejoice that we can use David's words as a statement of our faith. And so I pray that they're words that you speak often to your children and to the members of your congregation. God is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He is our shield, our rock, our stronghold, our refuge, our salvation. But does that assurance, which we would so quickly say that we have, that which we say we cling to and are rooted in, does that assurance of God's goodness and grace preserve you and serve you when you're in trouble? In the struggles of life that inevitably come. And perhaps that's you here tonight, walking through dark and deep valleys, struggling with bitter providences, grinding through life, wanting again the full blessing, at least in our own experience of God's blessing. But does the testimony of these truths then come out of you then? That even in the middle of that hard, is it right there? Right under the surface, right on our tongue, right in front of our minds, in the fullness of our heart, ready to come out. No matter what is happening, are we ready with that testimony? Because we might be tempted to say, well, sure. In times of difficulty, when our assurance in His continued care and provision is most tested, that's when that's going to be most difficult, but I don't think so. I think if we examine our experience together, we see that it's in good times, in pride of mind and heart, believing ourselves to have deserved every good thing that comes from the hand of our God, that we begin to depend on ourselves, our strength, our wisdom, our ingenuity, rather than on the tender mercy and goodness of God. And so, brothers and sisters, is He your strength? Not just catechism, right answer, is He. But really, truly, in your heart, is He your rock? Is He your strength? Is He your refuge? Or are you living and communicating in a way that says you are? You see, we know that the Lord is the one who preserves for Himself the faithful. And He does so for Himself and for His name's honor and glory. It's a truth that must be a comfort to us. It is something that we must share together. But it needs to be a comfort both in good times and in bad. Because the testimony of His care is found in the fact that He preserves us always. In both circumstances, He is caring for you. And that should bring out of our lips and lives the abundant praise of our faithful covenant-keeping God. And so David helps us to do that, even in the midst of his angst or a bit of that back and forth that we hear in the Psalms. Here's my trust and assurance, but here's my situation in life, and I know who you are and who you've been, but this is where I'm at. And yet in David's resolution, that's where he resolves himself. The Lord preserves the faithful. And so the believer is forever comforted in the Lord's preservation of the faithful. And we can have that comfort because he is our refuge, he is our trust, and he is our love. He's our refuge. We see that in the first 8 verses of the psalm. And so it's the blessing that when we gather together for worship, and oftentimes that salutation from the Lord is what? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not be moved, we will not be shaken. Or our help stands in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. This is our resolve. This is our resolution. And it's true whether the waters of life are calm or stormy. God hasn't changed. Your experience has changed. Your feelings have changed. But he hasn't changed. He's constant and steadfast. And so David is processing that movement in the Psalms between anguish and his current struggle, but searching and fighting for the joy of the Lord's comfort. And so in his anguish is where David proclaims his confidence. Look again at verse 1. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge. Let this be my experience, a fortress of defense to save me. That words desiring God's help bear repeating. This is where we live all the time. You're my refuge. Deliver me. Turn to me. Rescue me. Be mine, my rock and refuge and fortress. And so David needs God's help. He makes that plain. Do we need any less? Is your life lived right now? Hey, you know what, God? I'm doing good. I'm okay. I can handle it. What a recipe for disaster. The effects of sin, Satan, and self wage war against our hearts and our lives. We are constantly struggling with hardship and hurts. We're wrestling through sadness, depression, anxiety, bitterness, envy. We grieve for those who are walking outside of the Lord, for children and grandchildren who have spurned righteousness. And so in the experience of every kind of anguish and brokenness, we need that confession. Lord, you are my refuge. I must hide in you in my troubles. I must rest in you in trying and stormy times. But more, we need to live that out. I mean, we are so quick to speak that platitude. Oh, just keep trusting. God's faithful. But as we come alongside people to walk through the real struggles and difficulties, are we offering this in the light of our confession? Again, not just speaking these words to those who ask how we're doing, but living our answer. Living this before a world that says, your life looks like a dumpster fire right now. Why do you have hope? Because I'm found in Christ. Because he's my refuge. And we live that answer in humility before the Lord. For if we desire the Lord to be our refuge, we must confess what? He is, and he alone can be. There's no other way. He will not share that glory with another. If we seek refuge in anything or anyone else, we are ruined. And so David declares his standing and source of direction. Verse 3, for you are my rock and fortress. Not maybe, not I'm struggling. This is the truth. Therefore, for your name's sake, this isn't about me. Imagine that. This isn't about me, this is about you. For your name's sake, lead and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. We need his care and provision. We need his protection. We always need him to guide us and lead us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, that he would be glorified, that in our present experience, he would be the one who is honored and magnified. And he always faithfully does that for weak and feeble sheep. Never once has he let you go, Christian. Never once has he stopped being faithful to you. Even in the midst of all of those hard things, he has remained steadfast in his love for you. And so in that way, we confess to him, Lord, we're refugees. And maybe children, when you hear that word, you start thinking of someone on a handmade raft heading on their way to Florida, or someone fleeing a country in warfare. But that's a bit of the battle of the Christian life. We're refugees. We're home, but not home. And so who will that refuge be found in? A refugee needs refuge, a rock and a fortress. Someone helpless, homeless, hopeless needs protection and solace. That's who we are. That's what we need. And he's the only one who can provide it. And we can place our lives in his care. Verse 5, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Words so powerful penned by David that even the Son of David, Jesus Christ in his flesh, speaks them. Seeking refuge in the flesh, seeking to know comfort and care that could only be found in the Father. Righteous for us, an example for us. He is a refuge for us, strong and sure. And that's the promise of his word over and over and over and over again. And yet, what's our temptation? What's the angst and the struggle for us? It's to seek refuge in things other than the Lord. Man, we're quick to do it. Man, if I just attain this level of success, if I just get to buy that house, if I just reach this education level, if I just have this, if I just get this, if I just enjoy. We all do it. When we consider what other people place their hope and trust in, when we consider what we're tempted to place our hope and trust in, it should sadden us. It should break us. When we see the temptation of those things, it should anger us. If the Lord is our refuge, then we ought to share David's hatred. Verse 6, I have hated those who regard useless idols. Why would I give myself to so much less when God has provided so much more? Why would I give those idols a standing in my life that are dead, they're junk, they pass away, when I have something sweeter and richer and fuller in Christ? In fact, what does David say in verse 6? I have hated it. The idols of this world must not be our refuge. Let them have no foothold, not money, not wealth, not fame, not success, not power, not public opinion, not self-righteousness. Don't seek to find security or rest in any of those things. For God alone is a refuge. He is the only one who will fulfill the desire of your heart. And he fulfills that desire in his word according to his faithfulness. Verse 7, I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. In the midst of Jeremiah's lamentation, this comes out. How much more from us? For you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities and have not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. We want to say that. God, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't see it. Why aren't you there? You've known my soul. You know me through and through. You know every bit of my trial. But yet, what can he say in the midst of it? You have set my feet in a wide place. I don't stumble here. I'm with you. I'm found in you. Preserving us as he protects us. keeping us from idols, working his will and way in us to drive us to him, that we would find our shelter in him. People of God, we're refugees. We have nothing that hasn't been gifted to us and given to us by a good and gracious Father. The world is not our home. So find your refuge in him. In the one who did not spare his one and only Son, but gave him up for us all, so that he could make us mindful, even on the cross, of where our lives must be found. And so do that as you place all your trust in him, and that in the second place, because in trial and anguish, we find rest in God alone. But that doesn't mean that hardships and trials won't come again. That's our struggle, right? Haven't I already been through this one? Why again? Why another struggle? And yet, the more our trust is placed in the Lord, the more that faith will be tested, and the more trials and temptations may come. And yet it's then, when you can start looking back and you stack opportunity and witness and whatnot on top of each other, saying, this is how God has always been. He hasn't changed. And he proves that the faith that he's given is genuine, giving us a trust we can hold no matter how dire our circumstances may be. And yet at the moment, if you think about it, when you think about some of the dark times that maybe you're going through right now or that you've gone through, what do we fix our eyes on? We fix our eyes on that. Hey, how you doing? Well, I'm struggling to make ends meet. And man, my wife, I mean, she's been patient with me for a long time, but it seems like it's stopping. And the kids are crazy. And we focus on the heart. And we stop focusing on who God is. The struggle begins to consume our life, and it's all that comes out of us. And it's then that we ask, finally then, that we ask the Lord to take away our distress. Be merciful to me. Take this cup from me with Christ's response to his agony. But be encouraged, brothers and sisters, that we can pray such words speaks to how much God, even in those bitter moments, is faithful to preserve us. Faithful to call us back to him again. That we cry for mercy because we know we might receive it. Because God is faithful. Because he's our God. And so it's that which we hear in the next several verses in terms of David's anguish, which doesn't stop being real. Verse 9, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body. My life is spent with grief. My years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity. My bones waste away. And you're like, oh, is he done yet? No, I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors. I am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me. Kids, you hate that on the playground, right? Oh, you go walking to somebody and then they run away and your feelings. Here it is. I'm forgotten like a dead man, out of mind, like a broken vessel. But it's worse, it's active. Their hatred active. They slander against me. Fear is on every side. They take counsel together against me. They scheme to take away my life. Is David in trouble? Yes. Over and over, yes. In fact, that might be an understatement. It's physical pain. It's relational struggle. He's dealing with reproach, being repulsive, slander, and fear. People of God, is trust, your trust in the Lord, found in those moments? Or does your eye only move to the trouble? Is our reflex, is our default, I know who my God is and he's faithful? Where is your security found when your soul is in anguish and your life is in ruin? And are you able to give David's answer? Verse 14, but as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. You didn't stop. None of this has come between our relationship. You're mine. And so do we trust that he can answer us and our prayers and minister to us in grace? Do we trust him to do abundantly, exceedingly more than we can hope or imagine? Do we trust that the Lord will always deliver us in this life or to the eternal life prepared? Do we trust that the Lord will do what he says? And I can't answer that for you. But as that stirs in your heart, what is your answer? Do we trust that he will do what he says? And is our trust, even as our place of refuge, found only in him? Verse 15, my times are in your hands. Even this moment, even this call to you, it's in your hands. Deliver me from the hand of my enemy and from those who persecute me. That David's trust is knowing that the Lord works and knows what is best. That he will be brought glory in his will and way and time. And that all things will work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Hear this, no matter what. Well, Pastor, you don't know me. You've just moved here. You don't know my life. You don't know how bad it is. You don't know how hurt I am. You don't know how broken or how bitter. You're right. But God does. The Lord does. And because we are in Christ Jesus, we have hope. Paul writes it in 2 Corinthians 4. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Do we trust that? That's what his word says. Which doesn't mean sunshine and roses and peaches and lollipops all the time. But it means that he's good. And it means that he's faithful. And it means that he's with us. Do we trust that in the Lord there is always blessing, even in our sorrow and woe? Because where is David driven? I want to be in your presence. I mean, that's the struggle here too, right? Oh, man, God has been so rotten to me. I don't want to go to worship. I don't want to rub shoulders with his people. That well-meaning widow in the back row is going to keep telling me that God's faithful, and I don't want to hear it. Maybe you need to hear it. Make your face shine upon your servant, verse 16. Save me for your mercy's sake. What does David want? He trusts the Lord for his blessing, but he wants to know his presence. Be near me. Let me experience that again. Shine the light of your presence into my circumstance that I might see it rightly, that I might know why this is my thorn, my struggle, my hurt. Preserve me by way of that presence so I might persevere in truth and trust. Pour out the blessing that I long for. That of being named your people. That God, I'm your person. For thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Peace. Peace that is accomplished in the overthrow of all our enemies. Peace that was accomplished in every bit of Christ's anguish for you. Have we placed our trust in that Lord, trusting that he keeps us now and always, for we know the end of the wicked? Verse 17, don't let me be put to shame, O Lord, for I've called upon you. Let them be. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Don't let that be me. Preserve me in your holiness. Is that your trust and hope? That he's your trust and shield, that he's your hope and stay, that you will never be ashamed or forsaken because you are found in the love and salvation of a good and faithful Father and his loving Son, Jesus. Do you believe that? And then are you ready to give real testimony of the same? He is a preserving refuge. He is for us. And we have comfort because all of our love comes in him. And that in the last place. Because you see, no matter what's happened in David's life, and no matter what's happened in your life, This is where all of our experiences ultimately find their meaning, in the love of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He preserves us by that love. So now the new guy comes and says, do you really think that the Lord brings us into and out of hard and difficult times because he loves us? Yes. Do you mean the Lord ordains trial and testing so we will run to him as our refuge and place all of our trust in him? Absolutely. And when we're brought to such a point on the other side of that anguish, when we've come through the storm, when we've come through that reality, it's pure joy to know the abounding love of a faithful Father, which is the source of David's praise. Look again at verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness. It's like everything else has been forgotten. How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. You're going to work this out, God. For your glory and my good, it will be worked out. Abounding in loving kindness in all circumstances, pouring out goodness upon those whom he brings to find all of their refuge and trust in him. Oh, how he loves us. I pray that that's your confession. Because he loves us. Even in the midst of your heart, he loves us. And it's why we're preserved and never doubt that we will be. You shall hide them, verse 20, in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. He gives us home with him. He fights for us and cares for us. He comforts us and brings us through those difficult days. And after we're brought through all of that, we get to look back and see it. God, you are good. You preserved me. You cared for me. You loved me. Blessed be the Lord, verse 21, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness. In a strong city, for I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. We have to watch the knee-jerk reaction. God, you hate me because this has happened. No, I love you. I love you, and I am drawing you to myself. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you. He works his will and way in his time. Wait for it. We know it as he answers prayers. We feel it as he ministers to us in the life and love of others. He shows us this love in a faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he loved you. When you despised his word, he loved you. When you were rebelling against him, he loved you if you are his elect people. And he continued doing so until he has called you, dragged you to himself, according to his grace and mercy. We love because he first loved us. And we trust we will always have that and should desire to share that same love with others no matter our circumstances. So that David, a little bit wiser at the end of Psalm 31, knowing his past anguish, knowing his future promise, can still profess great love. Verse 23, oh, love the Lord. Love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. I ask you tonight, are you able to profess that? I don't know your situation, but I know our God. Can you speak that? Do we know the love of a Father who has given us his Son and Spirit that we might know him and live for him? That we would glorify him and enjoy him forever. Do we trust this? Not just speaking confessional truth, but living out its reality. In knowing such love, we're called to love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Why? Because it's how he loves you. And again, if you want to say, even yet now, Pastor, right now that's difficult, I invite you to prayer and to come where David lands in this prayer. Verse 24, be of good courage. He's going to see you through. I know the heart is hard. He will see you through. Be of good courage. And he shall. He will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. That's the blessing and comfort of a covenant-keeping, faithful God who gives us surety in those promises in Christ. My refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Keep speaking that into the heart. No matter where your life finds you, he is your refuge, trust, and love. Rest in him. Find your all in him. Run to him. Knowing, God, you're going to be faithful to preserve me. You're going to comfort me in your promise and presence. And you're going to be faithful to bring us through now and always and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies that you've shown to us. Father, you are forever faithful, again and again and again, faithful to your word, faithful to your character, faithful to every promise that is yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Father, we confess to you that we are so quick to focus on our problems, pulling a Peter as we look at the sea rather than looking to Christ. Father, help our unbelief and increase our faith. And Father, for those here in this place who do not know that comfort and that hope, who are struggling, seeking to find comfort and refuge in all of the things in this world that can't give it, Father, set them free from their idolatry and bring them even now powerfully to Jesus Christ. So, Father, hear us and be near us to that end. May we be an encouragement to each other truly as we bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the love and law of Christ. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.